microbe or germ in a stool. Due to long association with a particular type of material body, and also due to the grace of Kala Kanya and her Maya, one becomes overly attached to a material body, although it is the abode of pain. Even if one tries to separate a worm from stool, the worm will be unwilling to leave. It will return to the stool. Similarly, a hog generally lives in a very filthy state, eating stool, but if one tries to separate it from its condition and give it a nice place, the hog will be unwilling. In this way, if we study each and every living entity, we will find that he will defy offers of a more comfortable position. Although King Puranjana was attacked from all sides, he was unwilling to leave the city. In other words, the living entity, whether his condition, whatever his condition, does not want to give up the body. But he will be forced to give it up because, after all, this material body cannot exist forever. The living entity wishes to enjoy the material world in different ways, and therefore, by nature's law, he is allowed to transmigrate from one body to another, exactly as a person transmigrates from the body of an infant to a child, to a boy, to a youth, to a man. This progress is constantly going on. At the last stage, when the gross body becomes old and invalid, the living entity is reluctant to give it up, despite the fact that it is no longer usable. Although material existence and the material body are not comfortable, why does the living entity not want to leave? As soon as one gets a material body, he has to work very hard to maintain it. He may engage it in different fields of activity, but whatever the case, everyone has to work very hard to maintain the material body. Unfortunately, society has no information of the soul's transmigration. Because the living entity does not hope to enter the spiritual kingdom of eternal life, bliss, and knowledge, he wants to stick to his present body, even though it may be useless. Consequently, the greatest welfare activity in this material world is the furthering of the Krishna consciousness movement. This movement is giving human society information about the kingdom of God. There is God, there is Krishna, and everyone can return to God and live eternally in bliss and knowledge. A Krishna conscious person is not afraid of giving up the body because his position is always eternal. A Krishna conscious person engages in the transcendent loving service of the Lord eternally. Therefore, as long as he lives within the body, he is happy to engage in the loving service of the Lord, and when he gives up the body, he is also permanently situated in the service of the Lord. The saintly devotees are always free and liberated, whereas the karmis, who have no knowledge of spiritual life or the transcendent loving service of the Lord, are very much afraid of giving up the rotten material body. So, now, King Puranjana is almost dead, right? And the further destinations will be discussed. This is, everybody will have to go through it at some time. That, as Srila Prabhupada mentioned, the material body does not last forever. It's up to the Kala, the expansion of the Lord, this time. No, depends on him how much longer we can be in this body. But until we are in this body, and that's especially for us humans, then we are obliged actually to properly use the opportunity and educate ourselves about what should we do so that we can leave this body and go back to Godhead in this lifetime. is in the first canto. Srila Prabhupada, he gives very nice purports to when Arjuna, he goes to Dwaraka after Krishna leaves. So then no news, right? So then Yudhishthira Maharaj sends Arjuna to find out what's happening with Krishna. And he didn't come back for a long time. Then when he comes back, then he was very emotional. And by that time, Yudhishthira Maharaj, he was suspecting something. And Narada Muni, he gave an indication that Krishna may leave this planet. So then when Arjuna was coming, he was overwhelmed by grief. And Yudhishthira Maharaj, not seeing him in this state, and he was inquiring, what's wrong? Did you do something wrong? Did you offend somebody? Or did you not give charity? Did you not feed somebody? And many questions he asked. And then he asked what he was fearing. Then is it so because Krishna is not on this planet? Then he was very, very emotional. And both of them, dear friend, right, please, it's they were overwhelmed. But at that state, then Srila Prabhupada mentions very wonderful thing, that suddenly Krishna, he composed himself. And he was able, after the discussion with Yudhishthira Maharaj, then he was able again to focus, and it was again the same Arjuna, not emotional, very focused, determined. And what happened? One simple thing. Then, as Srila Prabhupada mentioned, that actually during the time when he was emotional, he forgot the discussion about Bhagavad Gita. He forgot the instruction of Krishna on the battlefield. So then he was overwhelmed by grief, by emotions. He could not do anything. He was lost. But as soon as he remembered the talks with Krishna, he remembered the instructions of Bhagavad Gita, then immediately he knew what to do. He had no doubt. Same Yudhishthira Maharaj. So all the brothers, they had no doubt what to do. So then, as they arranged, then the kingdom went to Parikshit Maharaj. And first Yudhishthira Maharaj just gave up all the royal garments. He dressed up as sannyasi and not caring for anybody. Not caring for the brothers, not caring for his wife. He just went like a madman, just out of the palace and meditating on Krishna. Same happened with the other brothers. And when Draupadi and Subhadra, when they saw, what happened to the husbands, right? They figure out, okay, so now I am on my own and you are on your own. We have to do the same. I have to follow my husband. But they didn't care. Then it was they attain the same destination as, no, well, Subhadra, sister of Krishna, Draupadi, the wife of the Pandavas. But, so they all did the right thing. They all meditated on Krishna. They all performed devotional service. And that's because they knew what to do. And how they knew what to do. Because they learned it from Krishna, from his association. So they practiced devotional service constantly. So that Arjuna got overwhelmed, that was just to show that the living entity may experience it very easily. And especially if one does not know what to do. But if we take shelter of the Lord, we take shelter of Bhagavad Gita, there is no fear. And Srila Prabhupada also explains that the direct association of the Lord, as the Pandavas had, is non different from instruction from Bhagavad Gita. It's not different from chanting the holy name. It's not different from hearing pastimes about the Lord. That means we can constantly associate with the Lord directly, if we decide to do so. So that's very important for us now to make the next step. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? How are we going to progress? We need to make the decision. We need to make, with determination, we need to make a goal. And we have to go forward to the goal. What is it going to be? And if we say it's Krishna consciousness, if we say that we want to go back to Godhead, then our actions should be following, so then we can proceed to the goal. One very, very interesting thing also is mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam, that if we want to achieve the goal, right, so then we would like to be successful. And we would like to be successful in anything, materially, but no, ultimately, spiritually, and ultimately successful in going back to Godhead. So, how to do it? What's the possibility of us to do? Then follow the regulative principles and follow the path which takes you back to Godhead. But who can guarantee the success? If you are now wondering if there is some way how you can make the success successful, then you should be praying to Queen Kunti. Why? Because as Srila Prabhupada says, actually, Queen Kunti, she is the incarnation of the success potency of the Lord. So you can just read the instructions by Queen Kunti. That way you can associate, you can worship her, and any success will be yours. So if you want to go back to Godhead, she is the right devotee who can take you there. Of course, what is she asking for, right? Her her prayers to the Lord are Mighty Lord, I remember the times when we were together in the forest and all the hard times we had there, all the sufferings. But when we were with you, we did not feel any suffering. We were very happy. She is praying for the difficult times to come back again, so then they can be with Krishna and they can remember Krishna. We should adopt very similar position. It is nice that when we are materially successful, but the difficulty is that many times that leaves us at that stage and we may not be eager to progress very far. If we set a goal, and if it's a material goal, and if we said this is my goal of life, once you achieve it, and it won't be difficult, you may feel successful and your determination may disappear. You may not be willing to progress farther. It will be difficult. But if you follow the instruction of Srila Prabhupada and set your goal as Krishna Prema, and everything else is just a step, different steps to achieve that ultimate goal, there is no way how you lose determination. But that must happen in the association of devotees. Says Krishna can be realized in three ways: as a Brahman or Paramatma or Bhagavan. So the Jnanis, they realize Krishna as Brahman. It's a realization, it's an impersonal realization of the Lord, and it's transcendental. But unfortunately, it's not the constitutional position of the jiva, because the jiva is qualitatively same with the Lord. Sat, Chit, Ananda. And the Brahman, it's only eternal. Same for the yogis, who are going after realization of Paramatma, which is partial expansion of the Lord, and it's full of eternity and knowledge, but not bliss. Therefore, only the devotees who are constantly engaging in devotional service, they are the ones who can realize the Lord as Bhagavan, Sat Chit Ananda. Because the devotional service is the media how we can show our love, our affection for the Lord. So we have to take it seriously. What are we going to do? How are we going to engage in devotional service? Whatever it is, there are unlimited ways of how we can serve the Lord. But whatever we take as a service, we should take it with full attention. Like Shyamananda Pandit, by sweeping, he achieved perfection. So, Bhagavatam is full of examples of devotees who achieved perfection. And those examples we should follow. The Pandavas, Dhruva Maharaj, Prahlad Maharaj, Britu Maharaj, take anybody. but we have to look for association of devotees. How the association is so important. Another example, Durvasa Muni. When Ambarish Maharaj was doing austerity, he was doing his vrata, and it was just about the time to break the fast. So then suddenly, Durvasa Muni comes and visits Ambarish Maharaj. So Ambarish Maharaj, very pleased, he was in please then come, take some prasad. Durvasa Muni says, well, I will, but I have to do my noontime duties, so I'm going to take bath and I will return shortly. But as he was taking bath, and now he engaged himself in his duties, and he came late. So in the meantime, the muhurta for breaking the fast was passing. So then the brahmanas advised Ambarish Maharaj that you should break the fast. But since you invited the guest, you should not eat. Then what should you do? So then the advice was, just drink some water. That's as much as breaking fast, but at the same time it's not eating. So he did that, and as Durvasa Muni, he comes, he figures out that Ambarish Maharaj drank some water, he got very angry that he ate before him. And he felt offended, and then he started to curse Ambarish Maharaj. Then Ambarish Maharaj, and he was fully surrendered to the Lord, he was not afraid. Durvasa Muni, he created a demon to attack. But to attack Ambarish Maharaj, but he was unafraid. And when Krishna saw what's happening to his devotee, then he sent Sudarshan Chakra to kill the demon. And then Sudarshan Chakra started to chase Durvasa Muni. So he didn't know what's happening, and then he ran away. And he was running, trying to take shelter of various places and various personalities. Durvasa Muni, he has also access to every place in the spiritual world, material world and also spiritual world. He can go to Vaikuntha plants. So as he was running, so first he went to Lord Brahma. Please, give me shelter. Then Sudarshan Chakra is chasing me. And Lord Brahma said, that's Supreme Lord's weapon. He is sending it upon you. I'm unable to help you. So he was perplexed. So what to do? All right. Then, okay, Mahadev. So he ran to Mahadev, Lord Shiva. You are so powerful. You are the Lord. Please, save me from the Sudarshan Chakra. And Mahadev said, I am unable to help you. I cannot do anything about it. Only Vishnu, the Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Lord can help you. So he quickly ran to see Narayan. And then he pays dandavats and he begs, please, Lord, save me from your weapon. Save me from Sudarshan Chakra. And Lord Narayan, he said, I'm unable to do that. You offended my devotee. The anger of Sudarshan Chakra is upon you because you offended my devotee. I am not able to stop my weapon. The only chance you have is to take shelter of Ambarish Maharaj and beg for forgiveness. You have to please the pure devotee, then you will be saved. So then he didn't have another option, so he quickly ran to down to earth to see Ambarish Maharaj. And it took him 1 year to go around. And Ambarish Maharaj, he was peacefully waiting there for him. He didn't go away. He was waiting what's happening. Then when he comes, then he touches his feet and said, "No, please save me from the Lord's weapon." And then he was very humble and he said, "I'm nobody. No, please." So he stops Surajan Chakra. Now there is no need for chastising him. And then when he sees the power of the Lord, of the Lord's devotees, then he is very overwhelmed. Ambarish Maharaj, very humble, he invites him, then come take Phanarada Prasad after 1 year. And then, so he feeds him, he's very happy. Then Ambarish Maharaj, he eats. And what's the wonderful thing is that after he left, then it was Shavishma Chakravarti Thakur, he's explaining that he didn't go, he went to Brahmaloka. And he went to Brahmaloka, and on the way, he was singing the glories of the devotees. And then when he was in Brahmaloka, he went there to discuss the glories of the devotees. So Durvasa Muni, he was not really a devotee until that time. But when he comes in association with pure devotee, even though he was offensive, but he learned his lesson and he got purified. This is what we need to do. We need to seek the shelter of pure devotees. Not that we should offend them, we should avoid that, but we should seek the shelter of pure devotees. We should constantly associate with them, and that way then we will progress in devotional service. So the association should be based on the Radhe Prati Grihnati, Guhyam Aktiv Pichati, Bhukte Bojayate. So giving gifts, accepting gifts, then opening heart and being able to listen to somebody in confidence, and accepting prasad and giving prasad. So these are important elements, and these we need to learn if we don't know it. Because it's not just about that we should give gifts or give prasad and take prasad. The important thing is, how do we do it? What is the culture behind? What is, which way? What's the form? And the form is being taught to us by the Acharya, through his instructions, through the association of the devotees. So when we know the form and we practice it, then when we get the opportunity that we meet the devotee, we know how to please him. Srimati Radharani, she pleased Durvasa Muni. Because Durvasa Muni actually is partial incarnation of Lord Shiva, so he can be very easily pleased and he can be made angry very easily. So Srimati Radharani, she was very small, and she was playing with mud, and Durvasa Muni, he was being there, and she pleased him by offering him basically utensils and prasad made of mud. But because it was made by her, it was so sweet, so delicious, that he was so pleased that he blessed her. Whatever you do, whatever you cook, it will be nectar. When Srimati Kunti Devi, she was also very young, and in her father's house, Kunti Bhoja's kings, then she was given the task to take care of the guests. So she was receiving always guests. So once also there was someone who comes, and she received him very well. She pleased him, and because of her pleasing Durvasamuni, then she got blessings. So we should not be asking for blessings. Like Prahlad Maharaj, when he immensely pleased the Lord by constantly remembering him, then the Lord was asking, Nandishmari was asking, take some benediction, take something, take some boon. He declined, he didn't want anything. He was happy that he could please the Lord, that's it. But then when Lord was insisting, then actually he asked for, and he asked for on behalf of his father, Hiranyakashipu, that he wanted that he knew that Hiranyakashipu was killed by the Supreme Lord, so then he is liberated. But he was free because it's his father, it's my father, so please, can you see that he is well situated? Even though his father was so enemical, he was going to kill him, and he was killing him many times. Still, as a proper son, then he showed what's the proper relationship. So he didn't forget his father. So he made sure that Nrsimhadev situated properly his father. So we have to be conscious of these relationships. We have to be conscious of the forms in which we can perform the relationships. And we have to, first of all, work on ourselves if we want to develop a relationship. We want to preach something. We want to preach Krishna consciousness. We want to teach something to somebody. First of all, we have to do it ourselves. The best teaching, the best preaching is done by Achar. You do it by your own example. So constantly we have to remind ourselves that, are we doing our best? Are we doing whatever we could do in our life? Are we doing the best with our life? Whatever we can do for others? Or is there something lacking and we know it? It is not that everybody has the same capacity. Everybody may have different capacity. But are we utilizing the capacity to the full? If not, and especially if we are talking about relationships, then after some time, when we figure out that something didn't work out properly, maybe the relationship breaks because of us, or even because of the other person. But if we did maximum for to develop and maintain the relationship, then we can, with clear heart, we can say, I did what I could, and it didn't work. It must have been Lord's arrangement. I could not do more than that. So then we can still renounce the relationship with proper consciousness. However, if we are aware of that we did not do maximum, if we are aware of that we could have done more, we could have saved it, we could have more developed it, we didn't pay attention to the person, we didn't do maximum, then feeling of guilt will come. And the guilt will make us feel, I need to fix it. I should do something about it. And that feeling of I need to do something about it will stop us from progress further. We will be going back and try to do something about it. And this is especially very dangerous in family relationships. If we don't do the maximum as a husband or wife, or as the father or son, or mother or son, then the great difficulty comes when we see that the children are not properly situated. They did not achieve what they should have. And we figure out it's our fault. Then we may want to go back and fix it. It may not be possible. We may want to start afresh. That's not possible. But then we may now start feeling it's not my fault, it's his fault or it's her fault. So okay, let's start new. Divorce, no, marry a new one, not try it again. It won't work. The fault is in us. It's in us. But we want to do something with the guilt, but the guilt will prevent us from doing what Yudhishthira Maharaj had done. And we will end up like in Puranjana, attached to the material world, attached to the sense gratification, attached to sex life, subtle or gross, and at the end of our life, then we will be forced to take another body. But we don't have to do that. If we dedicate our lives to the Lord, if we fully surrender, and until we go back to Godhead, then engage ourselves properly in devotional service by the base of relationship with the devotees, then we have a great chance to go back to Godhead. So, as also Srila Prabhupada mentions that when the Pandavas were leaving one by one, so it was because we are on our own. When we are ready to leave the body, we are on our own. The brothers could not help each other. The brothers, the husbands could not help the wife. We are on our own. And if we maintain even a single attachment to the material world, then we don't go. And that will be very sad. And feeling of guilt that I should have done something, it can be a good reason for being attached and keeping the attachment going. So time comes and we have to give up all attachments. But the wife, the husband, the friends, the spiritual master, they all help us. The mother, father, they all help us. They guide us. But when the time comes, then we have to be responsible and take the decision and the responsibility fully as our own. And as you see from the description of King Puranjana, the dying for a person who is attached is very unpleasant. very disturbing. He wants to maintain. He wants to. He is attached, but it's falling one by one. This is falling apart. This is burning. This is not working. So when he is unaware, his consciousness on it, he just needs to save himself. Even for a few moments more, it's not possible. Kala Kanya, she is the daughter of time. The time measures everything exactly. There is not even a moment more. So maintaining these attachments means getting new body. Working on that understanding, I'm getting old. The body is getting diseased, weak. I need to do something now. Take that seriously, and then you can very easily engage in devotional service. But that means engaging with body, mind, and words. Then the purpose of our life was fulfilled. Hare Krishna. Any questions? Can you give the mic? Behind. Oh. Okay. I'm sorry.
Thank you, Prabhu, for lecture. You mentioned that if we commit some mistakes in relationships and not properly taking care for our duties, that it can maybe bring you us back, that we will have to maybe fulfill again these duties, maybe next life or like that. Can you maybe explain a little bit more? Because on other side, we also see examples in the Shastra where some person already committed mistake and they surrendered Supreme Lord and went home back to Godhead. So if you maybe explain.
Yes. See, if you surrender and you understand, then you achieve the perfection. But when you are attached, that you want to enjoy, but it didn't work the way you wanted it, and you could have done more. So the curiousness of curiosity of what if I do it better way, then I can enjoy. Shastra says I cannot, but I almost did. So let me try it again. That's the Maya, that's the illusion. We are thinking that next time it will be better. Just you have to work harder. So due to the attachment, then the guilt comes, and no, from the fear, my time is running and I still need to enjoy and I need to do this. Or it wasn't right. Instead of seeing it, it wasn't right because I did maximum and it wasn't working. So how can I enjoy? The Shastra is right. Then you can surrender to Guru Sadhu Shastra and you are safe. But if you don't do that, then you are constantly going to be thinking that I can do it, I'm special. Even though nobody before me did. And as Yudhishthira Maharaj points, what is the most wonderful thing? That even though everybody is dying, but everybody is thinking, I'm not going to die. So it's for everybody else, but I'm special. So it's the materialist thing, I'm not going to die. Oh, this is just temporary. I have to endeavor more and I can overcome even the death. So if we understand that I did my maximum, then what else can I do? Then you are helpless. And who can give you shelter? Only the Lord. But if you don't do your maximum, you know you have some reserves. So why not to exploit them? Or explore, but not to explore them. No? Because what if? Maybe actually there is enjoyment in the material world, just nobody knows about it, only me. No. I know one devotee and he has desire to visit every place on the planet. It's very dangerous desire. It may take you, you know, a few lifetimes to do that. It's better just let it go. So if you do your maximum, then surrendering is easy. Because you know there is no way how you can enjoy. But if you don't do, then you always find reasons and ways how you can enjoy. Either that you didn't do maximum or it was the other person's fault, and therefore if you change the person it will work, but it won't. Yeah?
As devotees, we try also have good relationships with other devotees, but we are not perfect. You know, we are conditioned souls, so we try our best, but we have made mistakes, so we feel guilty about making a mistake. Is that a mistake to feel guilty?
If we try our best, that's what Krishna wants, and that we are unable to understand who is the giver of the understanding, who is the giver of intelligence. So when we do our best, there is a person, we want to please the person, but we don't know how to. Krishna is the one who can give us the intelligence, he can now direct us how can we do it. He can guide us in the beginning, so we get the intelligence by education. But at any moment, see, sometimes like a Dhruva Maharaj, when Lord appeared to him, he didn't know what to do. He was going to say prayers, but he was just so overwhelmed, just was stuck. So then the Lord, he touched him with his conch. And immediately he knew what to do and he composed so many prayers to glorify the Lord. So the only way how we can do that is to surrender to the Lord. Like Draupadi, when she was being disrobed in the assembly of the Kauravas, she thought she can protect herself. So then she was holding on the sari, but Dushasana, he was pulling, so she could not do it. But until she was trying to protect herself, Krishna, even though he was there, he could not do anything. She was not surrendered. When she understood, she is helpless, she cannot do anything, she raised her hands. And she called for Krishna. At that time, Krishna supplied unlimited cloth. So when we think that it's us who is doing it, we think that we are relating to the person for the reason that we want to get something from him or anything like that on the material platform, it's us, we will commit many mistakes. But if we relate to the person because we want to actually please the person, it automatically comes to us how we should do it. And even in that mood, we commit some mistakes, it's not a problem. Like a child, when he tries to please his father, right, and he brings something and he's carrying cup and he spills it. So it's not a mistake. The father is not going to chastise him. because of love, the child is trying, so he will encourage. So, Krishna is like that. He is encouraging us all the time. But we have difficulty hearing him. So when we are relating with each other, there is a form. Krishna not created. He gave us the form, how we should. So in Nectar of Instruction, very nicely he describes what we should do, how to develop and maintain the relationships among devotees. That's the main. We want to associate with devotees, but not for the sake of we want to enjoy each other. That's the material concept. We are associating because we understand that we all are servants of the Lord, and we are associating so together we can serve the Lord better. So in that, how can we do it? There is a senior devotee and we want to associate with him. Inviting for prasad, it's a wonderful opportunity. But it may be simple prasad. But when the prasad is simple but served with love, then that affection which is there overrides all the mistakes may be there. Srila Prabhupada is trying with his instructions to relate to all of us. But in Bhagavatam, he says that he knows it's not, it is, there are mistakes, grammatical mistakes or this, because he is not confident. But that doesn't matter. His language is so wonderful, it's full of compassion. So he sees it from a point of view as that it may be something. He says, so he is begging for forgiveness. But there is nothing wrong. That's all perfect. It's all transcendental. It's all absolute. So we take it like that. We will get the absolute truth. We will get the understanding of absolute truth. And there is no mistake, not even one. So it depends what we are looking for. So in relationship, if we are looking for, how can I use the person for my use? Then yes, we will commit mistakes and then that will be severe. But if we are trying to see how can I please the person, and in that we may do something wrong, but the mood is that in the process of the relationship what we tried, the mood stays the same. So because of the mood being the same, very quickly we understand what should have been done and we can continue pleasing the person. Krishna himself, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Haridas Thakur, what they speak about when somebody falls down from the position of a devotee. Krishna doesn't consider a devotee to be fallen. His mood is to serve Krishna. So he's maintaining that. But in the process, he falls down, he commits a mistake. But as long as he's maintaining the mood, he wants to serve the Lord and he begs for forgiveness. He's trying to overcome that. He is considered as saint as he was before. Nothing wrong was done. So this is that's what we have to maintain. Even we may commit mistake, but we should learn from it. During Srila Prabhupada's time, when a devotee would make some mistake, then Srila Prabhupada, he would be like thunderbolt, right? Then the other devotees, they wouldn't see it like, look at him, he did something wrong, good for him. They will be very eager to know and see what is Srila Prabhupada going to say, what's the instruction, what is there for me. I must have done the same mistake also. So they all were eager to know how they can learn from the instruction of Srila Prabhupada. So they didn't see that he is chastising one devotee and they didn't try to get away So then Srila Prabhupada also doesn't get them. They all got together and to see what is there for them. So they take it all as one person. And because of that, they were very able to learn very quickly. Learn means realize. But if we try to see, I don't want to be chastised. I like to not be always glorified. So if somebody is chastising me, no, that's not good. He's not my friend. I don't like it. So I will not associate with him. That will not help us. That actually will not bring us lower and lower in our own situation. So if we do something wrong, we should beg for forgiveness and learn from it. Sorry, I didn't know that I offended you, so please forgive. The person, he is not going to be dissatisfied. If the mood is right, it actually even enhances the relationship. But the mood must be right. Yeah? Hare Krishna. Yes.
You explained at the beginning that when Arjuna came back, it was like actually considered that he was not in good shape. But from Chaitanya Charitamrita we see that when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu felt separation, it was considered the highest. And Arjuna also felt separation from Krishna. Why was not considered this as the highest?
See, because Krishna, or Arjuna, he was, as a part of the pastime, he was actually showing how the material attachments can overcome the living entity. He was not conditioned. But Arjuna, he was going, first he figured out, okay, Krishna left. So then he was in charge, he was taking care of the wives of Krishna. And he is the chariot, he is the one who conquered all the demigods, right? He is the one having Gandiva. And he goes, he carries the wives. Then some cowherd men come and they defeated him. How much that would do a kshatriya? So he threw everything away. He didn't have, he gave up everything, completely dejected. So with that mood, he was contemplating, crying, and then he come in front of Yudhishthira. So this is because of the attachment, but it was not Arjuna himself was attached, but it was just for us to see what happens when we do it. But as soon as he remembered the instructions, he was free of all the delusion. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was constantly, as a devotee, he was constantly showing what is the highest form of devotional service. So his separation was constantly about thinking about Krishna, thinking about Krishna Vrindavan, the gopis. So he was teaching us how we should perform devotional service. How we should perform devotional service so we achieve Braja Bhakti. That was his mood. And Arjuna showed us what we should not do. We should not lament. We should take full shelter in Bhagavad Gita. So that would be the difference. But as Srila Prabhupada and even Krishna actually points, and the devotees, many devotees, point that for the devotee, living in separation, actually it's not a separation. He's never separated from the Lord. So Arjuna was never separated from Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was never separated from Srimati Radharani. it's constant association. But the external form it looked like being separated, and because of that, the intensity of the devotional service increases, you know, many, many times. So for us, if we don't develop the attachment for the Lord, then we don't understand what devotees who are attached to the Lord going through, what separation means. So separation in the material form, or in like the world, material world separation, it's something else than separation of a spiritual, not that spiritual separation. Yes. Okay, last question.
It's said in the scripture that when the Goswamis died, all of the devotees were lamenting and crying. And when Srila Prabhupada passed away, everyone was crying as well. And I believe I've heard somewhere on your Guru Maharaj's disappearance day, you should want to cry. So is this lamenting? Is this bad?
No, it's not a problem. If when the spiritual master passes away, you know, to shed tears is not a problem at all. Because there is a relationship. But we should not be overcome by, you know, the grief to the extent that we just fall into tamaguna and not knowing what to do. Then we should compose ourselves and remember what are the instructions of the spiritual master. The Vapu, it's not among us. We cannot deal with the Vapu. But the Vani remains. So now we have to readjust. We may not be able to associate directly, you know, through the Vapu, but we can associate directly through the instructions. So that gives even another dimension of to what the service to the spiritual master means. Yes? Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Jai Nitai Gaur Paramananda.